Uka chaka uka 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 chaka uka 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 chaka uka 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 chaka.
And a special today, 4 for the price of 1. Details in a moment. This is the formal warning that I'm switching away from a the opinion podcast platform. Now, if everything goes as well as I hope it will, you don't have to make any changes whatsoever, and a podcast will magically appear next week covering whatever movie I'm going to be covering. Might even be one before that, because there's another movie I saw which I intend to cover. And anyway, if for some strange reason there is no podcast by next Sunday, which should be October 15th, 2017, check with my Facebook and you will find a podcast there. So, sometimes on Sunday night, and there you may need to subscribe to that new podcast, but it the transfer should be done automatically. Now, why 4-in-1? Villeneuve, when he went for Blade Runner 2049, which happens to be a sensible, I'm not sure if I really want to call it a sequel, because a sequel implies a lot of crap usually. This is a continuation of the story. Well, anyway, so it's a sequel. But there's a fairly large gap between the original Blade Runner movie and the new one. And part of that gap covers events that are important to understand the new movie. Now, this is not exactly a huge deal, because those are available on YouTube. They're fairly easy to find. And to be perfectly honest, they're not critical to understand the movie. However, after I said that they're not critical to see them, to understand the movie, there is an actual important clue in one of them, which is not Yeah, there's an important clue, but you can go make do without it. You just get a little more details about a couple of events, which are the bare minimum of which events are explained in the movie. It's just that you know a bit in advance. And there's a little extra background on a couple of characters. Now, that being said, I'm still not sure what I think of the movie. There's a couple of reasons for it. There's a couple of my pet peeves. Now, regardless of my indecision as to whether or not I actually liked it, well, I liked it. I'm still not sure. I'm really not sure how I rate the movie, but I do rate it as something that probably should be seen. There are things in it that I really disagree with. It's definitely not perfect. There's a couple of bad fuck-ups. Some of it are the director's fault. Some of it is source material. Well, not even source material. but it's source material grade. I'll explain a bit. But at this point, I think that the movie should be seen. There's a lot of social commentary. There's a lot of things that make you think about that are definitely worth seeing, and they're well expressed. Now, if you hear anyone bitching about them, the movie objectifying women, the guy wasn't paying attention to the movie. Yes, they're objectifying women. They're object. The main character is an object. who owns objects? It's the whole point of the movie. Anyway, there's all kinds of lovely thoughts about humanity and what's being human, and you know the kind of crap you get in Japanese in anime all the time. But in this case, it's a worthwhile thing. Now, the problems. Okay, the major thing that really annoyed me, as I said, the source material flaw, is the actual nature of the replicants. Okay, here's the trick. The replicants, which everyone should know by now, are artificial humans made to be slaves. And that's where the problem goes bad, because by 2017, we know enough about genetic engineering, or the problem here being, I know enough about genetic engineering, and I'm no expert by any stretch of the imagination, that the way to get the things called replicants, well, you could try to recreate humanity from scratch, and when I mean scratch, I mean absolutely nothing. But you wouldn't. It's effectively impossible to get something that looks like a human without basically starting with humans and picking the traits you want. So you grab typical Jango Fett, and you give him extra strength. You remove the propensity to be an insane homicidal maniac, or you keep that if you want a soldier. Actually, if you want a soldier, you don't want the homicidal maniac. You don't want the maniac part. You want him able to kill. You don't want him to kill for kicks, because then you lose control, and, well, the idea of the military is to control application of violence. Now, so basically what you've got to do is engineer the body you want. You probably should clone them, because once you've got a body you want, clone them. Make zillion copies. Well, not zillion copies, but max out your production. You definitely will want different models, but once you've got your best soldier, well, that's okay. So you'd have specialists. You want a couple of smarter ones for if you hit like a really good strategist. Then you make officers out of them, and then you've got a stronger one will be the heavy weapons expert, or then you should get a compromise between mass production of clones and number of different models. Now, the real difference between replicants and people is that replicants are built as adults. They come out of the production as 20-somethings. The model we're most familiar with, which is the Nexus 6 from the original movie, had a life expectancy. a duty life for 4 years. That's basically because so that they wouldn't get themselves real personalities. That's also why they need memory implants, because they'd have nothing. They wouldn't be able to socialize. They wouldn't be able to speak. They wouldn't be able to understand anything, basically, because they'd have no personality, no mind. The memory implants allow them to have some kind of understanding of the reality. Now, one of the unsettling effect is that they basically wake up with the body of a 21-year-old, and they've existed for, well, a couple of hours. Well, the time to be programmed. They remember a life up to that point that never took place. Yeah, anyway, that's kind of mostly background and stuff. The problem there, and this is the problem with the plot of the movie. Oh, crap. This is going, spoiler. So, what else can I say without hitting the spoiler? I'll go, Up till now, that was just background and understanding. The point I need to make is spoiler. So, yes, I recommend people see the shorts if you can. If you cannot, too bad, so sad, not a huge problem. Preferably see them. The order is not important, by the way, as long as you see all three. It's half an hour for the whole for all three of them, so not a big deal. The movie is rather long, 2 hours 45 minutes, but it doesn't feel long. It's there, it lasts, it happens. There's no problem with it. I still don't know if I really liked the movie or not, but I do recommend it. It's good science fiction, and I'll discuss my problems with it in the spoiler part.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. You should stop this podcast to avoid being spoiled.
You have 20 seconds to comply.
Okay, so the basic problem with the whole plot of the movie is based on the fact that a replicant had a baby, which they're not supposed to be able to do. Now, that's fine. Actually, you can enthusiastically make the point that female replicants should not have the parts to make babies, because it takes a lot of resources and causes a lot of trouble for no benefits, because you don't want them to get pregnant. If you want to keep the clear split between humans and slave. Now, the problem comes in real fast. Is that doing that, if you remove the relevant equipment, you require a bit more high maintenance, which you don't want on a slave. You want to be able to forget about it and just feed it. Then the next part of the problem is that after the Nexus 8 and after no longer have the four-year lifespan. So the hormonal maintenance you would need to replace the fact that you've removed all the baby-making equipment, which is important on the on the hormonal control of the female anatomy, And of course, you've got pleasure models, which require some of the said equipment. That probably makes a point to keep the equipment, but tweak it so they're infertile. Yay. The problem there is, in any sensible way the replicants are designed, all you have to do is find the engineer that turned off the fertility and turn it back on. I mean, this is probably documented with little comments on the genes. And if not, you just cut out the sex part and put one that works. Having breedable replicants as slaves, morally very squishy, entertaining to think about, but it should not be a problem. There should be no difficulty there. The second part of the problem, which is why it's spoiler, is that there's never any hint. Okay, this is speculation, but there isn't really any hints that Rachel is a mass-produced model. I always thought of her as a one-off. It's the prototype that was made to test out how good you can make a replicant without actually mass producing them. So the fact that she can get pregnant while no other replicant would ever do it is something sensible, in which case not really a big deal. Again, from the point of view of the evil bad guy, wondering how the previous bad guy worked out to make it or make her fertile is kind of a point, but as I said, scientifically, truly offensive. On the other side, this is one of the rule of the three boners case, where you have to accept something that is obviously wrong once in a while if it's the premise to the story, which is why I'm refusing to hold it against the movie, but I'm still hesitating. There's a couple of other things. The side plot that the main character thinks he's the child would be pretty stupid, because the conspiracy to keep him, okay, perfectly sensible for a born replicant to eventually be sold as a regular replicant, but you need to hide him for all his youth. From his point of view, he wouldn't be able to tell his real memories from implant memories, which is part of the plot of the story, which is lovely. The problem here is that the people who ran the conspiracy of it and turn around and sell him, the level of idiocy of selling him to the police is jaw-dropping. I mean, this is the one you don't want to risk approaching, because, well, like, there's going to be all kinds of fraud about where he came from. I mean, it's basically selling a hot computer to the police. It's a hot piece, a stolen piece of equipment, without the paperwork, the relevant paperwork, and which is why I was going bong bong on the whole thing. Although that wasn't the reason. Well, anyway, that's part of the plot and the fun stuff of the movie. Now, as he wasn't the miracle child, that's not a huge problem. It's a it gives you all the fun stuff. The end is, well, kind of counterproductive because they're exposing the kids before the replicants are ready. And there's a lot of... okay, the orphanage would need some clarification that it is there are actual humans there. Which is, again, a good point the movie is making, but people could actually misread it that the kids were actually replicants. But if they're replicants, it means that they're mass breeding, so there's no mystery, so there's no chasing, the whole plot falls apart. So it's obviously not the case. But anyway, those are my basic problems with the movie. So, far from perfection, which is a bit disappointing, I guess. It's still definitely worth seeing. And I'm probably going to see it again. Probably not in theater. I'm having scheduling issues, but I'm grabbing the DVD when it comes out, that's for sure.